A lot going on in the art world, and here to talk about that, he's about to have one of his famous art attacks on the air, is one of Chicago's best-known artists, actor, playwright, raconteur, former former half of Buzz Killman's Drive-In Reviews, Tony Fitzpatrick. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, buddy, I'm good.
Hi there.
I'm just looking at this list of where some of your work is displayed. The Museum of Modern Art in New York, the Art Institute in Chicago, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Miami, the Whitney Museum of American Art, the Museum of Modern Art. How about that? That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Does it take to get your work displayed in all these places? Do you go and show? I mean, how does
you
it work?
You kind of got to wait for them to find you.
You wait for them to find you? So you don't have like an agent?
Oh, no, no. I have a dealer in New York. I have Pierogi Gallery in Brooklyn and John Malloy in Manhattan.
So people see your work in places like this and then they say, oh, I want this
MoMA
guy.
MoMA bought one from, the first one they bought was from the from an art fair in New York in 2004. It's called Indian Music and they bought it from Pierogi Gallery.
Hey, you're a man who has a strong opinion about everything. What do you think of the Trump sign?
You don't read my New City column, do you?
How often is it in New City?
It's every time.
Well, is it a weekly column?
Yeah, it ran last week. I think it's awful. I don't think we need the Trump tramp stamp on our skyline. I think he's a delusional billionaire who's got... He's one of those guys who thinks dollar bills are brain cells.
But you don't like the
Donald Trump woke up on third base, was born on third base, and thought he hit a triple.
Oh.
This is a man with a urine-colored cotton candy for a hairdo who we don't need him. I mean, he used to be easy enough to ignore when he was New York's problem. Now we got this squinty little bastard here in Chicago.
Wait a minute, Tony. I don't know that you can say the word squinty on WGN.
Okay. I just think that Blair Kamen is absolutely right. The building is fine. It doesn't need to be adorned with his name. Trump last week said, well, the Chicago Tribune has its name. Those are institutions. And this city was built by better people than him.
This has been great for Blair.
What's the difference between Charles Schwab right there behind you having his
name on a company and it represents thousands and thousands of people who work there.
But it's his building. Like, I'm not that offended by it.
I am.
This has been great for Blair Kamen. It bothered me
when Marshall Field's became Macy's.
Yeah, that bothered me too.
Yeah.
They still have Marshall Field's on the building, though, don't they? In one place, at least.
Well, they kind of have to. It's engraved into the cement pop,
All right, let's talk about this new...
I think Donald Trump is a scourge and a plague on humanity. I mean, I think Donald Trump is what's wrong with the world.
So if he was a nice guy this and you really liked him, it would be okay to have the Trump on his building?
I think if they put the name Ryko or Terkel or Alinsky or Jane Addams
then that
or
would be
Harold
fine.
Washington or Richard Wright or Frank Lloyd Wright, anybody else who's contributed to the greater
I'm
good of the
you.
City.
That's
of
right.
So it's not about how it looks. It's about who he is.
It's about what the name represents. Yeah. You know, he goes, it's a brand. You know, well... You know, when I was growing up, your name meant something. It wasn't a brand. And that's what I fear Chicago's becoming.
We've got to get
a city of brands
Kristen, we got to get Tony's new city column here every week. I need to read Tony Fitzpatrick's
New City
column.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. Thank you. You know, I listen to your show.
Bob,
I listen to Marianne go on and on about how good your eyes look. I thought, why don't you two get a room? I say, okay, Bob, I realize you don't age. You know, every day you wake up, you're a piece of ass, okay? I'm 55 and I'm bald and I'm overweight. I listen to your show, Mr. Surratt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. There's
you can get it online.
Thank you very much. There's a new exhibit at the Art Institute, Magritte, The Mystery of the Ordinary.
What a show it is.
Starts tomorrow, runs through October. Now, here's what I know about Magritte. A bizarre... paintings with men in derbies and flying around in umbrellas or bird cages where their face and chest should be. And I also know
he's kind of the most identifiable surrealist.
Yeah, I know that the CBSI was based on a Magritte.
And the Beatles Apple.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Absolutely. René Magritte, the French claim him. He's actually a Belgian. And he died in 1967. And he's probably the surrealist that most people can identify when they think of that word, him or Salvador Dali. And this show is a phenomenal show. Again, the Art Institute knocking it out of the park.
They did it last year. How many pieces are there about?
It's a big show. I mean, it's a substantial show.
Runs through October 13th at the Art Institute.
And is it like you can get the audio tour when you're walking through there?
You get the audio tour. You can just walk through and enjoy it yourself. If you're not schooled at all or familiar at all, the audio tour might be of great help.
But people are familiar. They're going to see the works of Magritte and look at it.
And realize they've been seeing these images their whole life.
Exactly.
There's that one beautiful one of the fish couple kind of kissing. And they have human legs and human bodies, the lovers it's called, I believe. And realize they've seen that image over and over and over again. I mean, Magritte was a game changer. He's the one who made surrealism accessible to everyone. And there's some surrealism you look at and you just don't quite get it, and it seems somewhat off-putting.
Yeah, he's accessible, and kids will even like this. They'll get a kick out of it.
The men with the bowler hats and the umbrellas.
Yeah.
The locomotive coming out of the fireplace. Yeah. What I found out about that painting, and it's in this show, is that it was commissioned by a man named Edward James, who was an odd, eccentric poet and arts patron, and he collaborated with Magritte. And a great many of these paintings are paintings that were inspired by the house that Edward James lived in London. And Magritte, not one to turn down a big passel full of commissions, made all of these gorgeous paintings in a response to Edward James's house. You know, mirrors became windows, and It's really quite a quite an exhibition.
He lived into the 60s. When did he?
1967. And René Magritte was alive during the time of the Beatles.
And what's that story? Did McCartney admire Magritte?
Loved the paintings.
Is that how the Apple logo came
McCartney
to be?
McCartney, as a young man, besides being a rock and roller, wanted to be a painter. And loved Magritte, and grabbed the apple, which Magritte was, I think, eternally grateful for, because once they made Apple Records, I mean, he got paid. He got the cheddar, you know.
Nice.
It informed a great deal of what the Beatles did.
So where did his inspiration come from that
the
was
mundane,
so out of the box?
The everyday.
What made him look at things in a different way, everyday things?
Thinking that the objects around him actually had a secret life.
Really?
And there was something kind of phenomenally earth-shaking in that common idea.
Love that.
You know, a fireplace with a locomotive coming out of it, steaming, and
I love that.
Magritte was one of those who looked for the possibility in every single object.
Get over to the Art Institute starting tomorrow.
Again, the Art Institute, ever since they've opened the modern wing, the curatorial team over there, and Douglas Druick, who is the head of the Art Institute, James Rondo, they've done an amazing job in re-educating people about what modern art actually is. Last year, the Picasso show, the year before, the Jasper Johns Gray show. They've given people a new tutorial in how to appreciate what might seem art that's out of their spectrum, that they don't see every day. What we 100 years ago started calling modern art.
So you're not mad at them anymore for throwing you out we sent you over there for Fox Thing in
that
the morning.
That was your fault. Bob, you knew that would happen.
I was
you
hoping.
You knew it would
I was
happen.
Hoping.
You know, everybody thinks Bob's such a sweet guy. He's an evil little man.
He is an evil little man.
You thought, okay, Tony and First Friday Night, this could go bad so many ways so quickly. Let's do it.
And we did.
You know, and then who gets the blame? Not Bob.
No. He's happily sitting
Bob.
In a studio with a suit on.
I'm incensed that
he's like Jeff Garland on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's like, wow, how can you do that? How could you do that?
It's Tony Fitzpatrick will continue this art attack, and we'll talk about
the big show, the big news now is the opening of Ed Paschke's Art Center.
Let's talk about that and a couple of other matters right after this. We're having a bit of an art attack with Chicago's Tony Fitzpatrick.
Yes, we are.
And the Magritte exhibit at the Art Institute, The Mystery of the Ordinary, that starts tomorrow, Tuesday, free day.
Boy, go and
go see
that.
It starting tomorrow.
Absolutely go and see that.
And the other thing that you ought to see, let's talk about Ed Paschke.
The biggest story of the year, my dear friend, who's now been gone for 10 years.
For folks who don't know about Ed Paschke, how do you describe what he did, what he meant to the city?
The face of Chicago art for 50 years is about the best way to see it. Ed's paintings, if you don't know them, if you've been living in a mushroom farm for the last half a century, they're characterized by bright, pulsating colors. He had a real feeling for outsiders and freaks and people who lived in the margins of society. And he reflected that. He was not afraid to go there. And as his paintings evolved, what I noticed the other night at the opening of the Ed Paschke Art Center, and boy, they did this right. First of all, they put it in a neighborhood.
It's at Jefferson Park, right?
Exactly. It's at 5415 West Higgins Avenue. And it's right at the opening in Jefferson Park. And there's some great places to eat up there, Gale Street Inn. And George Karzis, the guy who owns Gale Street Inn, he was there for the opening. The people from Gift Theater. This is also really a celebration of community. And this is so appropriately Ed Paschke that he lives on in the communal memory of this city. Jefferson Park is a neighborhood that he grew up in. It's peopled by working people and people who don't have $23 to get into the museums. They can go in here every day and it won't cost them a dime. And they can see a monument to this man's imagination, tenacity, and vision.
You know what's great is thinking about summer vacation and kids being around, and we mentioned Magritte at the Art Institute, and then you can go to Jefferson Park and go to the Ed Paschke Center.
Exactly. And you know what? In Chicago, the last few years, a couple of places have really gotten it right. They've put the work in a neighborhood.
I love that.
The DePaul Art Museum doesn't cost you a dime. It's on Fullerton Avenue. It's in Lincoln Park. This place is in Jefferson Park. And everybody can enjoy it. And
talk about the replica of his studio at the time
phenomenal.
Of his death.
It's phenomenal.
I mean, I'm only looking at the picture.
I saw that.
What is that like? That's
I was
be
in
great.
That studio so many times.
So does it look exactly?
Not a hair out of place. I mean, it's absolutely Ed's studio. And it was not fancy, but it was a place he was comfortable in. It was a place he was comfortable having his friends, some of his collectors. Ed was an incredibly generous spirit. Every once in a while, I'd be working on a painting, and he'd hand you a little sponge brush and go, make some marks on that. And then he would work them into the painting. He would solve the problem of whatever marks were there. As I looked at these paintings, I realized that some of them were painted about 10 years before there was a World Wide Web, before there was an internet. And they seem incredibly prescient. They seem to kind of tell the future that all of the technology that's supposed to connect all of us, in some cases, made us infinitely more alone.
That's for sure.
They were incredibly smart paintings. It's so rewarding and so thrilling to see this reassessment of Ed Paschke.
He
died on Thanksgiving Day 2004.
Yeah.
One of the worst days of my
he was
life.
Young.
Yeah.
65.
He was only 65 years old.
All right, go see the Ed Paschke Art Center.
He had an incredible amount of responsibility, you know, and a huge Ed's wife was desperately ill for many years, and she required 24-hour care. Around the clock, and she was in a facility that was really quite expensive. He had a lot to take care of, and I really honestly think that Ed probably worked himself to death.
Huh.
Wow.
And
I hope people go in Jefferson Park, and I hope people go also to
absolutely see, they have to
see the work of Tony Fitzpatrick and others. Black Shamrock and Adventureland Gallery presents Small Fictions Works on Paper, a group exhibition, and Tony is among the artists featured Friday, July 11th. That'll be at 1513 Northwestern Avenue. We'll post something.
I'll try to weasel my way in here before that opens.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Maybe I'll bring lunch and warm my way into your hearts.
That's easy.
And Bob, for your information, the New City piece that Tony recently wrote on the Trump sign is called Dime Stories, Donald Chump.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we really do not need this guy here. He's a pain in the balls. I'm serious.
He just built a building here.
Yeah, but he wants to, he's like one of those big dogs who wants to put a stamp on everything in the world. I mean, the truth be told, if you take a good hard look at Donald Trump, this billionaire fiction is, a lot of it's built on leverage. You know, I've had a couple of really rich guys write me since that article ran. And how many times people wind up in business with Trump and they flirt with bankruptcy constantly?
Well, he was bankrupt himself not too many
years ago. Many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Coming in a couple of weeks to do some business and see his sign. Maybe
is he coming on your show?
Show him around. Well, you never know. Well, and we'll be sure to get a restraining order on you while he's here.
That'll be the day Tony comes
you
in
know,
with lunch.
The ideal job for me for us would and be Trump. To get paid to kick him in the nuts. If I could get a job kicking Donald Trump, somebody should kick him in the nuts every day.
It's an art attack. Tony Fitzpatrick, always a pleasure, always dangerous. We'll visit with you again soon, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, man.